The Holy Gospel according to Luke in the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree and planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, and he found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years now I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, then you can cut it down." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So I am really not a gardener, and I don't have a green thumb. Mostly I just really don't like dirt, and I don't like the creatures that live in said dirt. But I do enjoy the ambiance of like some houseplants. So since I've lived here for about 5 years now, I've really tried to keep them alive. Most have died. rest in peace our ferns, Fernie Sanders 1 and 2. Well, the longest relationship I've had with one of our houseplants is this fiddly fig that's been holding on for about 4 years now. I learned this week that it is connected to the fig tree, but this plant's been holding on by like a prayer. It never seems to die all the way, so I have kept it. Finally, a couple weeks ago, I was remarking on this plant because the cats out of the blue started to like dig out the dirt from it, and I was annoyed at having to clean it up all the time. So I told my husband, Ethan, I think it's finally time to cut the cord. Let's get rid of it. We'll get a new plant that hopefully will be doing better. Well, that same evening, we're sitting on the couch watching TV, and our cat, Olive, jumps up in the fiddle leaf tree and is on the pot, and she starts to pee in it. Okay, and we're yelling at her. We're like, "Olive, stop it. What are you doing? Ah, get out of there." She just kind of like turns around and is like, "What? You got a problem? What's wrong? I'm just watering your plant." And then it was when I realized that it might not just be that I wasn't caring for the fiddle leaf tree in the right way. There might have been some other problems happening as well. But then I read this parable about waiting, about patience, about time and care, and I felt guilty for the fiddle leaf tree. So I decided we're going to get some fertilizer, we're going to wait, we're going to see if it can survive, we're going to put some saran wrap on it so that no other friends can water it. I really had to change my own mind about this fiddle leaf fig and what it needed, put in a little more extra effort and care. Now, what sets the stage for the parable of the fig tree is that Jesus is speaking to this crowd of people, and he's sharing with them some news stories that are happening, some scary news stories. We might identify with that. There's one about the Galileans being killed by Pontius Pilate and these ritual sacrifices. There's another about a tower falling on a bunch of people and killing them. And the people in those stories have died suddenly and without warning, very traumatically. Well, first off, Jesus tells the people listening to the parable of the fig tree, first you have to change your mind about why they died. It's not because they were being punished or suffering divine retribution. That's kind of an Old Testament way of seeing things and something that we might have noticed even in Paul's interpretation in 1 Corinthians, but they're not being punished. People don't die because they've done bad things. Then he tells those listening to him that they don't want to die in the same way, though, unprepared and suddenly. Now, preparing themselves doesn't mean that they can avoid a traumatic event or death. It means that they're called to change the way they're living in the here and the now. Don't die without knowing God's way. without knowing God's plan for growth, for love, for opening your heart to follow him and produce good fruit. And so Jesus comes next with a parable about producing good fruit and making a change. A parable, if you don't know, is a story that normally teaches us a lesson, typically about our faith and Jesus. Oftentimes, the different characters will represent Jesus or God or the people. And there are often many parables about farming and about the land as well, because the people that Jesus was speaking to really were very well connected with the land. So we get stories like the mustard seed or the weeds and the wheat. And there are also several other stories about fig trees. The Reverend Jeff Chu in our Sanctified Art devotional points to some other stories in different gospels about the fig tree. In both the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, Jesus' interactions with the fig tree are quite different than the one we read today. We hear Jesus is hungry, the tree is not producing fruit, he curses it, it withers, and dies. And the explanation for those stories is typically what doesn't produce good fruit withers and dies. And good fruit being the works of your faith. When your heart is opened and following God, what comes next? Yet this fig tree parable is very different, and it's less about the fruit and more about the process of producing the fruit. What caught my attention in Jeff Chu's explanation of the text was the possibility that maybe this parable is even for Jesus, that he himself needs to hear it. And I really was interested in that because often when I'm up here preaching, I'm saying the things that I myself need to hear. So I wonder if Jesus would do that too. You see, when we think about Jesus' ministry, it was very fast. It happened in the span of about 3 years, the amount of time that the vineyard owner waits for the fig tree. And then it's over. Jesus is crucified, he dies, he ascends into heaven. And he leaves his disciples behind to carry on. And often those sweet disciples are not the most competent of folks all the time. So I wonder if he did worry, if he worried about what he had planted, the seeds, if they would grow, if they would succeed, if they would continue to follow in the ways that he was teaching them about God after he was physically gone from their presence. Maybe Jesus needed a little reminder through the parable that you can't always see the fruits of your labor. Sometimes it doesn't even happen in your lifetime. Now, in the parable of the fig tree, if we're thinking about who is who, it seems very clear to me that God is not the owner of the vineyard. You see, the owner of the vineyard is someone who is quite impatient. 3 years is up, we're done. We're not wasting any more time on this fig tree. But if we know God as someone who is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, we would expect more patience. The man working in the vineyard, however, offers a different perspective. Give the tree a little more time, some fertilizer, some care. Wait, be patient. Most of all, give it the grace of believing that it could produce good fruit. It seems to me that the man working in the vineyard is God, actively caring, understanding, with patience. Now, if you know anything about fig trees, which I don't expect you to, they're temperamental. I'm not really much into growing things, but I did look up some facts about fig trees, and they're finicky. Don't bother growing them here. It's too cold. They need the right soil, of course, the right sunlight, but even then they might not produce good and tasty fruit. I was astounded when I was looking up some of these details, and the comment section was just overflowing about these fig trees. We're waiting long enough. Why isn't it producing good fruit? Our fruit's woody. Our fruit's sour. What are we doing wrong? What should we do? What does my fig tree need? I heard in this comment section how overwhelmed these people were by their figs, that the fruit wasn't good enough. It wasn't simple or easy to grow it. It was overwhelming to think about all the variables and the individuality of each tree. For them, trying to get the outcomes that you hoped for was a daunting task. And I can understand that a little bit too. I shared with our devotional group last Monday that right now I personally am being inundated with advice from parents, nurses, doulas, midwives, people who see themselves as experts on babies, and especially how to get your baby to sleep. Since I've become pregnant, everyone really likes to tell me how tired I'm going to be. I'm not pointing any fingers at anyone here, but you all are scaring me, and you need to stop. So I've gone down this rabbit hole of advice because I thought, well, maybe if I know enough, I'll be successful. And I've fallen into this one camp that if you do exactly the right thing, you'll get exactly the right outcomes. And you can laugh, but a desperate person who likes order holds tight to that fallacy. And the owner of the vineyard kind of holds tight to that fallacy as well. The expectation that results will be on schedule and on time. Now, the other side of that is that, you know, every baby's different. Some sleep good, some don't. You'll never be able to figure it out, so just don't bother, buckle up, get ready to be tired. Now, I think that maybe neither one of these are exactly correct. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle, in the in-between. I'm learning slowly that babies take time, care, a whole lot of patience, that you have to get to know your baby and see what works for them. And it's clear from this parable that the same type of advice is true for the fig tree. And that's true for us as well, adults. You are the fig tree in this parable. The hope is that you will follow and serve God, that you will have an open heart, that you will be the type of person that's able to produce good fruit. And simply by that, I mean to love God, to love your neighbor, to love yourself. Yet this story is really less about the good fruit and how do you get there. So you see, the man who tends the fig tree knows that the getting there takes time. It takes care. It takes patience. So if you're feeling this pressure, and it can be in any aspect of your life, to be better, to do better, to know all the answers to how to make this world a better place, to succeed, to be productive, remember that getting there is not always simple, and it's certainly not often fast. Society is the vineyard owner who says, produce more, be faster, just give it up if it takes too long. But God says different. God says, remember that some seeds take longer to grow. God says, remember, I have been with you always from the beginning of time. Some need more love and care and attention. You're allowed to be the fig tree. You're allowed to take the time you need. Apply this to yourself. Apply this to your friends, your family, loved ones, siblings, children, all of us. Because we worship, we follow a gardener who seeds our needs and who lovingly tends to them with grace and with mercy. Amen.